Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom's weight management programs are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's N-O-O-M.com to sign up for your trial today.
Before we get started with tonight's episode of Benched with Bubba, I want to talk to you about RotoBaller.com, proud sponsor of the show. Do my written content over at RotoBaller.com, and this podcast is a part of the RotoBaller Radio Network. So I want to let you know that football season quickly approaching with you guys. Win big in 2021 with RotoBaller.com's NFL Premium Pass. Are you ready to dominate your season-long in DFS leagues? RotoBaller's NFL Premium Pass and Draft Kit include rankings, projections, and cheat sheets for all formats. Get exclusive draft articles, DFS tools, lineup optimizers, and premium Slack chats. Join in on the winning and take 50% off any Premium Pass. Use promo code Bubba, B-U-B-B-A, for another 10% discount. Just visit rotoballer.com/radio, sign up today, and start rotoballing like a boss. And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bat Flip, episode 101, part 3 of our First Pitch Arizona Draft and Hold recap, the final part of the recap, but it's been a fun exercise in some 2022 draft planning. You can find myself on Twitter at BDEntric and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at BatFlipCrazy. Toby, how we doing, man?
Doing well, Bubba. You know, it's a celebratory podcast tonight as it looks like Atlanta is going to win the World Series. So I'm wearing the smallest Braves hat you can find anywhere in the world right now. It's a great hat.
It's a great logo. A little too small.
I might change over to my prediction for next year's world champion after my head loses circulation and I start, passing out or forgetting things. So
yeah. Well, yeah, it looks like they're going to take it. It's like the eighth inning now. I think it's 7-0. Freed got the job done, which was good to see. But, we'll see. Anything can happen, but I think it's pretty much in the books, as you mentioned. Yeah. But it is very, very fun to see. But we have a lot of good listener questions, so we'll get to those here, and we'll get through the last, 12, 13 rounds of this draft a lot quicker. We're just kind of mainly focused on our picks and kind of scroll through some others because, again, it's impossible to read this draft board. Hopefully soon it'll be available for everybody on NFBC to check out, but we'll start things out with round 11 because we got through round 10 and good old Dave McDonald's, he needs steals, so he went with Miles Straw to kick off round 11. Then he went Travis d'Arnaud, Gurriel, that guy, Brendan Rodgers, Christian Vasquez, Urquidy, Posey, another guy, Blake Snell, and then I believe this is my pick. No, my pick's coming up. Then it looks like Paul Konerko. It's not Paul Konerko. Chris Taylor, Logan Ryan, and also I went past mine. My bad. That's we can't read anything here.
I know. For folks who are listening and maybe didn't listen to the previous podcast, we're working off of a picture because we don't have the actual draft board available to us. So we're just looking at this really hazy picture where we kind of know who the players are that have been drafted, but aren't 100% sure. Maybe if we just stick to ours, then we'll know. There
we go. We'll do that because the one that I didn't figure out what it was until I realized it was my team, my 11th round pick was my fifth starting pitcher, my SP5 in round 11, Ranger Suarez. And it's one guy that I know is going to be a controversial guy throughout the offseason here because, if you guys listen to the show long enough, we know Toby especially. Then I even jumped on board. We attacked him for a closer role because he was filthy good. Then the Phillies go, we're going to trade for Ian Kennedy. let's transition Suarez to the starting rotation because we need starting pitching. Okay, well, I dropped him because I needed innings and strikeouts, but little did I know he could have won me a league probably if I would have hung on there. But they really didn't give like a real solid explanation of how they're going to do it with him. I almost feel like they're going to go Rays style. They did not. After about four starts, it went three innings, two and two-thirds, four and a third, four and two-thirds. From August 24th on, it was five-plus innings, pretty much six-plus innings in every start. Quality start in every one of them, and he had five or more Ks in every one of them. The dude was absolutely ridiculous in that rotation. The Phillies will need them at Nick Pollock, by the way, asked, how can we podcast at a time like this because of the World Series going on? It's a blowout, Nick. Pitching's done. But Ranger Suarez got the job done for the rotation, and the Phillies should need him again next year. The question is, how far can he go in the season? But that's one of those I guess I'll live with when we get there. I know there's some questions. Can he keep up the pitch mix that he had and be consistently good at it? We shall see. But, yeah, I'm going to go with – I went with Ranger Suarez in round 11 with my as my fifth starting pitcher because, like I've said, the first two shows recapping this podcast, starting pitching is ridiculously deep. And I'd be, like, drafting and drafting and going, like, I should go somewhere else. But one of the things we learned or didn't learn we talked about in, like, the NFBC portion of the lectures or whatever and some other ones is, you know, make your list, go with your guys. Don't just think you have to fill out your roster. You can fill out your roster later. I kept seeing value to me at the pitching position. I could be wrong. So I'm with Ranger Suarez because the other thing is we talked about Toby in previous things is in DC's especially draft and holds outfield. You need to get a lot of outfielders and starting pitching can get crazy. So you might want to fill up either that or long relievers, something like that. So I went the starting pitching route. I went Ranger Suarez.
Yeah. And Suarez he's going to be really interesting to see where he goes. I was interested to see, you know, kind of where he went. You know, there's some regression with the low BABIP and the high strand rate, but there's a lot of the things that you would look for in a really good pitcher. You know, the walk rate was, you know, around league average, but the strikeout rate was still high. He had a nice swinging strike rate. He also was okay. He was pretty good in the zone and he generates almost 60% ground balls, you know, which is definitely a major benefit and much higher than his previous career average. He also had 0.34 home runs per nine. So his home run per fly ball was 5.8%, which is bound to regress. Yeah. But even with regression, I mean, he could still be a really valuable pitcher. So I like that pick.
You know who he reminds me of? And we'll see if he's the better version or the younger, like cheaper version. He has a lot of Framber Valdez traits to me. The ground ball rates, but then the walk rates that could also lead to home runs at times. And we saw the good and the bad of Framber this year. And as the year went on, it got pretty bad. We'll see if Ranger kind of has. I wouldn't be shocked if we see articles this offseason that kind of compare the two because there's a lot of similarities. I think Suarez has a better strikeout arsenal. I'll say that for sure. But I see a lot of similarities as well.
Yeah. It'll be interesting too because I mean, with the DH probably coming, Suarez loses that kind of thing too. Luster. So yeah, it'll be interesting for sure. I drafted with my 11th round pick. I went with Jared Kelnick. You know, I like Kelnick a lot. I think the batting average is really the only major question that I have, and even though you know I have a question about it, and it doesn't necessarily fit my team that well, you know, throughout the minor leagues, like he had a pretty decent batting average throughout. It hasn't been a huge issue. The strikeout rate, I think, is a major factor in there. But if he can winnow that down, I think he's definitely a 2010 guy. He's going to play every day. If he moves up in the lineup, he should be pretty decent OBP wise as well. He's always had a pretty good eye, as I understand it. So I really like him as just like a very good floor with a very high ceiling because of the power speed combination, the improving team on the Mariners. That's the way that I went. I needed some outfield. I needed some hitters. I needed some speed. And so I was able to address that with Kelnick.
Yeah, no, I like that. That's one that I think as the offseason goes on and people kind of get the sour taste out of their mouth, he's going to start climbing back up boards again because you know it and you've seen it when other people see it and you kind of dig deeper into what he's done. And even just like that last month of production, you started to see kind of, okay, this is the guy we thought we're going to get. He's getting comfortable. He's kind of, you know, I could see next year him taking that next step and we're going to see him go higher in drafts, I think for sure.
Yeah. I totally agree. Once people digest that September that he had, like you mentioned,
He's one of the guys that it's a perk to draft early. Cause if come February, you're going to probably have to pay like four rounds earlier, at least for him. Maybe not four, but I wouldn't be shocked actually.
And I mean, how old is he? He's like 20 something. Like, how old is he? He's 22 and 3 months. Super young guy. We've seen the way that development can happen with these high end prospects. So,
yep, for sure. Who's your 12th round pick?
Oh man, I get to go twice in a row. Sweet. My 12th round pick, reading through the haze here, was Sean Manaea. I had Manaea like a lot of places this year. He was fantastic. I mean, there was a lot of volatility in his performance, I will say. He had a couple stretches, including the end of the year, where he was brilliant. And then he had one stretch in particular where he was just god awful. And the challenge with that is if you stuck with him throughout, you know, you got a really nice season from a 230-ish ADP pick, 3.91 ERA, 1.23 whip, 194 strikeouts in 179 innings. You know, he even has a little bit of maybe positive regression heading his way with the 3.18 BABIP. You know, the strand rate was decent. The home runs per nine was the highest it's ever been in his career. At the same time, like that strikeout rate was solid. The K minus walk was 20.3%. The fastball velo was up, which made everything play higher. You look at the projections, 3.66 ERA, 1.16 from Steamer, 179 strikeouts and 179 innings playing in Oakland. Oakland's going to be a really bad team, but I also wouldn't be surprised if they moved Manaea. I actually think I saw somebody mention this on Twitter. I actually think this is a great, would be a great spot for him, would be the Giants.
Yeah, it would be. It really would be. Like kind of a Zito 2.0 all over again.
Yeah. You guys should do that.
I want E-Rod first. Give me E-Rod.
You want E-Rod, huh?
That's my boy. Put him in that ballpark. Give me E-Rod.
Okay.
He's a free agent. Send him over. Let's go.
Get him. Is he a free agent?
I think him and Stroman. I don't want both of them in orange and black.
Stroman there would be great. Ground ball.
Yep.
Yeah.
Give me both those guys in that rotation with maybe Gossman for another year and Webb. Let's dance.
Yeah.
So we'll cool. see. All right. My 12th round pick, mentioned last podcast that catcher started, they're flying off. Like I almost got Grandal at one point. Simeone got me there. And there's some other guys I had circled. So a guy that I think early draft season, you're going to get a discount. Later in draft season, things are going to change a little bit. And that's Kyber Ruiz of the Washington Nationals. This is one of the big pieces in the Scherzer and Trey Turner trade. This was like one of the biggest pieces in that trade. We know the hit tool's always been there, but he's been blocked in LA. There's been nowhere for him to go. When he came over the Nationals, he started basically playing with them from August 30th on, and he hit 284. Only two home runs, but the power we've seen in the minors is there, so I'm not too worried about that. Only a 280 BABIP, so I'm happy there. The biggest thing I liked, a 4.5% strikeout rate. This guy's plate discipline is elite. Like it's very hard to teach a young ball player. It's really, really good. And he's 23 years old. So he's super, super young. And what we saw is when they first called him up, he was kind of platooning a little bit with Riley Adams. That stopped quickly. And he was basically the main man in the strong side of the platoon, if there was one, hitting fifth or sixth in the lineup pretty much as the season went on. So if I can pencil in a guy like Kyber Ruiz, hitting fifth or sixth for the Nationals, again, a team won't be that good, but they still have Soto. They still have weapons in that lineup. And you look at Steamer, they got him hitting 269 with 16 home runs. I think he could probably hit a better average than that personally. I think there's more to that batting average, which is hard to find at the catcher's position. So this is a guy that I think will go a little earlier once draft season starts really ranking up, and I got him as my catcher one.
Yeah. No, solid pick. I like that one.
All right, my next pick in round 13, I don't know if I'm just like pumped because I'm always like Lourdes Gurriel is my boy. Like you have Yuli, I have Lourdes. Like we have the brothers. I'm just a huge Lourdes fan, and the year started out rough, really, really rough for Lourdes Gurriel. But he was the epitome of just, you know, trust the baseball card. That's the best thing I can say is in 2019 in 84 games he had 277 with 20 home runs, six stolen bases. This past year, 276, 21 home runs, and it really was mainly the second half of the season. It wasn't even the first half was dreadful, absolutely dreadful, but he really got it going in the second half, cranked it up, and actually hit better in the harder ballpark to hit in, if that makes any sense. So that kind of gives me a little more confidence as well. When you talk Lourdes Gurriel, again, he's 28 years old, so he's not super old by any means. And one of the things I really, really liked, and I'll double check before I really say something I might not, maybe shouldn't say, is it's only 11 games.
Say it now, research it later.
He's only going to have outfield eligibility. If he did it in season, he had first base because he played 11 games there. So he got it in season, but he won't have it to start next season. That was huge in draft and holds because I had him in some of those, and first base was falling like flies towards the end of the year. So I like Lourdes Gurriel a lot. Phenomenal lineup he's going to be hitting in. I think he got his confidence back because they stuck with him. Like there was a point there they thought maybe Grichuk could take over or somebody. They kept going with him. He'll add a little bit of speed, but the power is there. He's going to drive guys in. And the batting average is always pretty slow with Lourdes. So I liked him a lot because I think they'll move him around again next year. I wouldn't be surprised at some point next year we get multi-position eligibility out of him again. So I got Lourdes Gurriel in round 13.
Nice. And then with my 13th round pick, I went with Michael Kopech. Might be a little early, you know, to grab Kopech in a draft and hold, though. Those middle relievers have a lot of value. And he could be in the rotation next year. I mean, I think the chances are that he probably is in the rotation. When you look at how well he pitched, I mean, he was phenomenal this year. You know, I actually had him on a few teams those last week or two just because he was so good. But 36.1% strikeout rate, 8.4% walk rate. So the control is a little iffy, but a 27.7 K minus walk, 14.1 swinging strike rate. You know, he pretty much does everything. He dominates inside the zone. You know, the ERA was higher than it probably should be. The 1.13 whip. I mean, this guy just, he could be absolutely phenomenal. And when you look at the steamer projection for him, obviously it's only 156 innings, but 3.75 ERA, 1.18 whip, 196 strikeouts in 156 innings. And he did go 70 innings. So, you know, the question is, you're probably not going to get 180 out of the guy. But if you can get 150, if you can even get 130, and he can maintain some of those ratios that Steamer's projecting him for, or even better, you know, if he can kind of continue to succeed when he's in the rotation outside of the bullpen, then he could be a real, even at this spot, he could be a real upside pick. So I was really pleased at that. He was a guy that I wanted to get.
Yeah, no, I had a star next to Kopech. I didn't know if I was going to take him then, but he was one of the guys I was on my list to kind of circle back to each round because the ceiling for Michael Kopech is very, very high. Very high, especially if they let him do something. So I like that a lot. And I think one thing is they'll be in contention again. So they might kind of temper him at times, but they're going to want him pitching all season. So it's not like he's just going to get shut down. You could see a Freddie Peralta thing potentially with him. Ooh,
that's a really good comp.
You can see that.
Super good comp.
We'll see. I think they'll still want to be kind of timid because of the TJ surgeries, but I could see that kind of deal where all of a sudden, you know, in August, September, you might see a little bit, but they still pull him out there. And 3 or 4 innings of Michael Kopech could still be pretty darn good. No W's, but still that strikeout stuff's primo. So something to think about with Kopech. I like him a lot. I was torn on where to take him. So I don't blame you for taking him there because, like I said, the ceiling, ridiculous. Like he could outperform Ranger Suarez, who I took 2 rounds earlier easily. Wouldn't be shocked. But they could also do some wonky stuff. So I think he's a very, very intriguing pick for sure.
I got bad news, Bubba.
What?
You starred him, but I drafted him.
Yes, you did. You did. This time around, I know for a fact we'll be in at least one more draft together that I finished second in last year. And I'm assuming you'll come back and try to. I just buried myself there, folks. Just realized I just made my grave telling Toby that I beat him, and he won't beat
you.
Me
did
again.
Beat me. You but, beat me. I mean, although I forgot last week I said you beat me in the one league we played together, but we also did barf together.
You smoked me a barf. I do. I beat you there. I'm looking forward to the barf format changing. I'll tell you that much. Because I already cut out multiple leagues that have different formats now. I'm trying to almost do all NPCs because it makes it so tough, man.
So is it changing for sure?
Unless something changes again from what we talked about, they're going to work on getting it all in NPC.
Oh, man. That'd be great.
It'll make things a lot
better. One fewer league on fan tracks.
Yep. So we'll get that rolling there for sure. Was that your 13th round or 14th round pick?
That was my 13th round pick. My 14th round pick was Reese Hoskins.
Ooh, my boy.
Your boy. Man, I'm just getting your starred guys all over the place. Hoskins, you know, health has been an issue. I don't know if I love this pick. I mean, I think there's, let's just look at what Reese did this past year. He was really good.
He flew
under the radar.
Yep, he did.
When he was playing, he really did well. 247 batting average, so not hurting you. And if you look at his batting averages, you know, 259, 246, 226, 245, 247. Spot the outlier, right?
Yep.
It's the 226 batting average. That's the outlier right there. And so, you know, he's projected for 236. I feel very comfortable with him at 245 or so because he still doesn't strike out. You know, he still walks a ton. He's in a great lineup. He's in a great ballpark. Obviously, the injuries are an issue, but he's going to be one more year removed from, you know, that the surgery or whatever he had with his shoulder or arm. I don't even know why he was injured. It was his abdomen. So hopefully he's going to be okay. But, I mean, I was looking a little bit for some pop here, and I feel really good about Reese Hoskins. And a little bit of speed from your first baseman. I mean, he's projected for 5 stolen bases from Steamer and 608 plate appearances. Yep. So I feel pretty good about this. I was like, do I want to just go with this type of power guy? But I feel like at this point in the draft, you know, it's a guy who, if he's healthy and he's playing, I feel very confident he's going to hit 30 plus bombs and help me out in counting stats as well.
Just hearing you say all those things makes me want to send you that gif of that little guy with the ball of yarn and the heart thing come out. Because you said that you always send out there because – I've said almost all those things before, and people go, "Oh no, he can't do this." I'm like, just look at this, look at it. Like, this is what he does. And like, and then you saying it though, that's going to back up some good stuff. So, like, he's not like going to be a Freddie Freeman, but where you draft him at, he's going to do so much for your team. And even when he was healthy, like, I know he wasn't healthy all season, but he put up really good numbers. He goes through massive slumps. I'll say that much. So you got to be patient. But when he's hot, hot. So that'd be my one thing. If anybody drafts Reese Hoskins, when he goes in a slump, it's not pleasant at all. But yeah, the second you bench him, you're going to regret it. So you just kind of ride that one out type thing. But
yeah, well, and let's say like last year he was going around the same spot. I think he was going around pick like 180 or so.
Yep.
You know, what if I said he was going to give you 247 batting average, 27 home runs, 64 RBI, 71 RBI. Mm-hmm. Five and 3 stolen bases in 443 plate appearances. And then for, you know, that month and a half that he's out, you get to stream a guy in that.
You know, like pick up Jesus Aguilar or something.
Exactly.
Yeah, it works fine.
It's great. Give me the same production. Yep. If he gives me 450 plate appearances, I'm fine with him at that spot. Yep. But he's not going to. He's going to give me like 850. He's going to break the record.
Easily. He's going to do it all because you know why? Because he was in a trivia contest with us and we beat him. So that's...
You're right. He was in a trivia contest, which, speaking of which...
Is it
December 4th, it's coming back. We're going to bring the team back together. I've got to reach out to people, but if anybody's interested, it's a baseball-related trivia that my brother, he runs a nonprofit called Keep Playing Baseball, keepplayingbaseball.org. They do a trivia night, and it all raises money for the nonprofit, which helps kids who are students who are in high school, play baseball in college. It provides free recruiting advice, stuff like that. It's a great organization my brother runs, and it's also a fantastic, fun time. And Reese Hoskins was there. So was Andrew Knapp.
Andrew Knapp
was there as well as part of it. So we're going to have a team together. We had a loaded team. Bubba is excellent at trivia. We had Sammy Reed. We had Alex Chamberlain, Brian Slack.
That was fun.
Was that our whole team? Or Justin Mason?
Justin Mason.
That was our whole team there.
I think that was our team. Yeah.
We're going to have to bring that back. But, you know, John Fish played as well. He brought a team together, which was awesome. So hopefully we'll get a few teams from Twitter and from podcast listeners. I think it's like $25 or...
Yeah, it's not much at all. And then you can buy raffle tickets. Like, I want a Rick. It's up there on Ricky Fowler.
Oh, yeah. You want a Ricky Fowler cleat?
Yeah. Like, there's all kinds of cool stuff that the money goes to a great cause. So... Sure. It's fun. I'm looking forward to it. I'm glad it's coming back. That's awesome.
Ooh, maybe we could have my brother on like for a small segment to like
bring it
to pitch it to the listeners.
More the merrier.
Man,
bring it on.
Two Gavons on the same podcast. That might be dangerous.
Yeah, I'm just going to put my mic on mute and walk away. I was kidding.
Well, I mean, you guys, Bubba is a trivia master. Like, he was at least 75% of our right answers came from Bubba, I would say, on that. And we have a very smart team, don't get me wrong, but Bubba was like on it. There were some tough ones, though. Like,
there were some very tough ones.
There were some tough
and some ones that were worded weird that I will still fight to this day.
Oh, yeah. But that's okay. That happens. It happens. It's not professional trivia. Hey,
and his brother's not in charge of that. They have a group that does it. It's a professional trivia thing that does it. So,
totally, other thing. Totally.
But, all right, back to the draft. My 14th round pick. In draft and holds, I like to try to get positional flexibility if I can. It's not always a must, but I try. And so Eduardo Escobar stood out to me in round 14 quite a bit. He's second base and third base eligible going into 2022. He missed first base by 2 games, so that's a bummer. But he still gets second base, third base, middle infield, corner infield. That's going to come in handy in a big way. The biggest question mark with Escobar is he's a free agent. So where does he land? Yeah, so that'll be, at least according to Fangraphs, free agent in 2022. So that'll be a question. You'd think Milwaukee might try to bring him back because he actually, that flexibility is something they could use in a big way at times. But some team were like, he'd probably fit perfect in Toronto, moving all over the place. Like, there's certain teams where he'd slide in very nicely. One thing he does well, he hits for power, 25-ish home runs, give or take. A little bit of speed, not a ton, but he's going to hit for average. And like I said, the flexibility is what I wanted. So I took Escobar there in round 14. And then I went on a pitching run, and this one will be short and sweet, but we've talked about it on this show. I know I've talked about it on other shows and just getting people's – I got asked Spore on one of my shows recently, Justin Verlander. I took him in round 15. Mm-hmm. And I'll take one or two chances in every draft, and I will. But Verlander, free agent, for one. So you know wherever he signs, they're going to let him pitch. Two, he's going to pitch because they have no reason to hold him back, because what are they waiting for 3 years from now? He's only got a couple years left anyways. And if he's healthy enough to pitch, that's the big question. That's the question. But if he's healthy enough to pitch and can go, I think around 15 is phenomenal. Even if he only throws like 130 innings, it's phenomenal. Is it a massive risk? Yes. Is it maybe a bad pick? Yes. But at this point in the draft, I'll take my chances on Justin Verlander, because we saw what Chris Sale did in a couple months. Say Verlander, and Verlander's ahead of that schedule. So say Verlander gives us 4 months of Verlander. I'll take that around 15. I'll take that for sure. So I took a little gamble there around 15.
I like it. I think it's great. Great, great place in the draft to do that.
But what did you take in round 15?
Or who in round 15, I went with Colton Wong. Because of my starting with the two catchers, even though JTR is a fast dude. I mean, that dude just steals bases like you wouldn't believe. But I still only had, because I had Sal Perez as my other pick, my first two hitters where I usually want to stack up on stolen bases. I only have like probably 11 projected stolen bases, something like that. So I still need that speed, but I'm starting to cobble it together with Grossman, Kelnick, Chisholm, and now Wong. And the thing about Colton Wong is, you know, he's on the Brewers. I think he's still going to be on the Brewers, right? He's not a free agent. You know, he had some health issues this year, but I think the thing that I liked a lot is he's the type of guy who's really benefits from the change in home runs, you know, the decrease overall. Like there was certainly, just the decrease in home runs from kind of bouncy ball situation, because he goes from a guy, you know, he hit 14 home runs this year. Right. And he's in a much better place to hit home runs, especially for lefties, you know, in Milwaukee. But, you know, his projection next year is for 14 home runs. Honestly, if he gives me 14, you know, and 16 stolen bases with a good batting average, which he generally gives, I mean, he's not like as high a batting average dude as you would necessarily anticipate, but he's projected for 264. So he's definitely a plus in that department. Plenty of runs, you know, hitting first in that Milwaukee lineup. I just think he's like an all-around solid guy, five-category contributor, going about where he was going in drafts last year as well. So I really like him a lot. And for a team, you know, where I'm looking for speed late, that doesn't necessarily compromise power too much, that maybe helps me out in batting average, because I think that's another weakness with Kelnick and Grossman and Chisholm and guys like that. So, yeah, I just think it's a nice balanced profile at second base. I'm into it.
Yeah, no, I love Wong. Like, that was a guy I pumped up last year. I think it's a great spot for him. So, yeah, big fan of that pick.
Yeah, and let me just check something really quick here. Yeah, so, yeah, he had 20 barrels this past year, you know, 5.5 barrel percentage, which was his best, you know, that he's had in a season. you know, his max exit velo was okay at 107.1, but yeah, I like that balance profile.
Yeah, for sure.
And then after that, I went with, I needed batting average, and I'm a little torn on this pick. I love Michael Brantley. He's a great player. You know, the batting average is going to be there. And I really needed batting average at this point in time in the draft. I do have some issues with the pick just because there's not a lot of power there anymore. There's not a lot of speed. I mean, when you look at it, like, he's pretty much the definition of empty batting average this year. But what I will say is, if you go into drafting him, understanding that maybe he's not an every week guy for you in fantasy.
For sure.
So he had 508 plate appearances, 311, 8 home runs, you know, 68 runs, 47 RBI. Let's see if he got a little on. Yeah, he got really unlucky, actually, with the on the home run department. He had 24 barrels and he only had 8 home runs, which means that he only 33% of his home runs. So he's bound to improve a little bit. But what I'd say is, if you go in knowing that he's not necessarily an everyday guy, but when you play him, you're going to get the average regardless. And if you play him in the good matchups, you're going to get that, and you can get some runs and you can get some RBIs, but you probably want to complement him with a power or a speed guy, you know, probably a power guy, you know, like somebody that you can get later on. And you're just kind of like, I'll probably play him in 75% of the weeks, but in those tough matchups, I feel comfortable moving away from him. Go
get Adam Duvall or something.
Yeah, like him and Duvall and Brantley, although Duvall is going to go like super high.
Yeah, now he will. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, 118 RBI, 30 home runs. He probably ends up in Atlanta again. He's good defensively. Didn't he like win a gold glove or something like that? Or
I think he's one of the finalists. One of the finalists. Yeah.
So I really like him as just a really nice flexibility batting average pick who fit my team really well.
No, I like that a lot. It's a good round 16. He's basically a outfield version, but a better version of Luis Arias that everybody likes to get. But he's in Houston, and it's a lot better situation. So, he'll give you more homers than Arias will. So I'm with you on that one for sure. My round 16 pick, I went back to the starting pitching well, because pretty soon I'm not going to need to take any more starting pitching. It'll be all relievers and everything else. But again, it just kept falling, and I'm thinking that we saw 149 really interesting slash really good innings from Tarik Skubal this past year. And I think there's another layer to Tarik Skubal we haven't seen yet. Hopefully it's 180 plus innings of Tarik Skubal, but we saw a guy with an 18.5% K to walk, something I'm a big fan of. He was almost 20% in 2020 in that shortened season and that short stint he had, but he was outstanding. His biggest issue at times was the home run ball. He still had a 20% home run to fly ball, which he had in 2020, never had it in the minors, but in the majors, he's had trouble with that. That happens. But if you can control the walks, those aren't as big of a deal. You can live with that. And it's still the AL Central, which outside of the White Sox, there's still a lot of goodness there to have some fun with. So I think Skubal can take the next step. And he's like my SP 6 or 7. So it's one of those guys I don't have to play all the time. And if he does take that next step, well, then it's finding and striking gold potentially. We'll see. But I think there's a whole nother level to him. And it's another big strikeout piece. Like I've been preaching, I want strikeouts. Skubal's a massive strikeout guy, regardless of what else he does. And he's got a low 4 ERA. Like if you look at everything for an SP 6 or 7, he's not that bad. And he gives you the strikeout upside I'm looking for. So I went Skubal in round 16.
I really like that pick a lot. I didn't realize that how good Skubal was.
Yeah.
And like you mentioned, there's that room for upside. I'm just kind of looking at his profile. The walks being lower than league average, especially because I feel like that was one of the concerns with him, is an issue. He got that really low in the second half.
Yeah, he worked on that a lot in the second half. It's just keep the ball in the ballpark. He'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah, this is great. I love it.
And I've been saying I don't have closers. Well, we went with a potential closer in round 17, and I went with Garrett Whitlock of the Boston Red Sox because Hansel Robles, who was in a committee list, he's a free agent. Whitlock got 2 saves in September. He's got the better stuff, I would say. It's hard to argue that. If you look at Greg Jewett, who's now at Reliever Recon, $3 a month, well worth your guys' money. Please help support that awesome cause because we use this on the show all the time, his charts and everything else. Like, I'll pony up $3, no problem. I literally told him at FPAS, I'm like, you know, you could charge more for that, right? And he says, he's all, I'm not going to, though. I'm like, okay, I'm just letting you know, you could charge more for that. But Whitlock's the number one that he's got there. If you look at Ryan Roof's chart at RotoWire, Whitlock's either there or still on a committee. So it's one of those guys that even if he doesn't start the year with it, I'm pretty confident he's going to have a good share of it at some point in time on what should be another pretty good Red Sox team, we'd imagine. So I went with Whitlock because there was not a lot of guys left closer-wise, at least that are locked in the jobs at this point. So now it's speculating on upside and potential. And to me, Whitlock was one of the better ones on the board at this point in time. Time will tell, but he was my round 17 pick.
Nice.
Who'd you take?
All right. In round 17, I took Rafael Ortega of the Chicago Cubs. And I'm a little torn on this because I think there's some uncertainty about what his role might be next year. There's always the offseason. We don't know what they're going to do. But he seems like the perfect kind of plug-and-play guy for them where he did really well. I mean, it's hard. Like, so in 330 plate appearances this year, he hit 291 with 11 home runs, 12 stolen bases, you know, 44 runs, 33 RBI, not really even playing. You know, he is part of a platoon, which kind of sucked, or he was towards the end of last year. It'll be interesting to see what they do. But he's got really good plate discipline, you know, 28.30 swing. The contact's really good, well above league average. So he's not going to strike out a lot. He's going to be on base. He's going to steal bases, you know. And when you look at his projection, Steamer has him at 522 plate appearances, 13 home runs, and 16 stolen bases. And so, again, you know, that's assuming that he doesn't play the full season. You bump that up a little bit. You're looking at a very similar profile to Colton Wong, I think. And those are the types of guys I need. I have like, you know, my Hoskins bat. I have my Perez at bat. I don't really have any guys that are negative power necessarily, except for maybe Wong, but I don't have any like single digit guys. So I'm still feeling pretty good, like roster construction wise about my team. Again, he should be a good batting average guy. Steamer has him at a 249, you know, which seems, yeah, I guess it's somewhat reasonable. I would maybe peg him a little bit higher than that. He did have a higher BABIP, but he also had, you know, his highest max exit velocity at 109.5 by over 2 mile per hour. He had 13 barrels, 5.7% barrel rate. Honestly, like he's identical to Colton Wong, the more I think about it. Yep. Except he is being platooned where Wong isn't necessarily being platooned. So a little bit less value, but that same type of profile that I really like because it's not hurting you anywhere and it's addressing some of the needs that I had.
Yeah, leading off for the Cubs is a big thing, or any team. But if he stays hot, maybe the platoon goes away or he gets traded somewhere. We'll see. But I like that one a lot. Breaking news, the Atlanta Braves are your 2021 World Series champions.
Oh, they are.
It is official. It is official. Man,
for those of you watching us instead of watching the World Series, you guys deserve like some major credit. Did it just happen?
Yep, 7-0. Yep, it's over. Oh, they're celebrating, man, on the field as we speak. So, yes.
That's so nice. Congratulations. Yep. Braves fans have waited a long time.
Yes, they have. From the good old TBS dynasty years. So.
Oh, man. I used to watch the Braves all the time. They were my brother's. They were my brother's favorite team.
Yep, we grew up in that era. It was that and WGN with the Cubs. So you got one of the two. That's how it always went.
Oh, yeah. I love those. I love the Cubs. Ryan Sandberg and Andre Dawson. Oh, man. I got to watch this year. Two outs. Bottom. My boy. My boy Yuli is up.
Yeah, but he grounded out to my shortstop.
I know. Well, it seemed like Dansby Swanson was always ending series, wasn't he?
Yep.
Like, he was always the guy who got that last... That last thing here. And Will Smith also on this team.
There you go. I'm just pumped to see Max. During the playoffs, I'm pumped to see Max Fried get that. That was awesome.
There he is.
Yeah. Beautiful thing.
There he is. Wow. They did it.
Who was your 18th?
Holy moly.
Who was your 18th round pick?
Congratulations, Freddie Freeman. Dansby Swanson. He had a great interview the other day. Yep. I don't know if you saw that. Man, it was fantastic. All right, moving along. Now that real baseball is over,
yeah,
we can actually concentrate on
over.
The stuff that matters here. I mean, really, do we care about regular baseball people? Absolutely not. This isn't about regular baseball. This is about fantasy baseball. Get your priorities straight.
Exactly.
All right. After that, all right, let me ask you a question. If I were to ask you, Marco Gonzalez, was he good this year or not?
He was for part like early and late, middle stunk because I rostered him in a lot of places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, check this out. 3.96 ERA, 1.17 whip. He only had 108 strikeouts in 143 innings, but you know, we'll give the guy a little bit of slack. He struggled through injuries. He did all that stuff, but gosh darn it, he's just a guy who can get a 3 ERA and a low whip because he doesn't walk guys. And yeah, I mean, he had a very high home run per nine, 1.82, his highest in since he really became a major league pitcher on a reasonable basis. He was excellent. He was great. And so I'm getting this guy in a DC after pick 200, who I feel good about the ratios. And yeah, the volume of Ks isn't going to be great, but he's also, if healthy, he's going to throw 200 plus innings, you know, in a season, and he'll probably end up getting 150 plus strikeouts. So the volume actually will not be that bad, I don't think, on the Ks, as long as he's healthy. But he's also going to have those great ratios. The Mariners are an up-and-coming team. I think they're going to spend this offseason and add some offense. And I think he's going to get some wins as well. And so I think I like this pick a lot. I think he's going to fall in drafts. He's not the type of guy that guys like. Mm-hmm. I think people consider him to have a failed this past year, which he did or he didn't, depending, you know. But I think he's a reliable guy that you can throw out there in virtually every matchup. And he's fine. I mean, the only problem with him is he did well in games where he wasn't supposed to. Like his best game of the season came against the Dodgers, you know, where you don't start him, of course. Yep. But again, like just a really nice, I think, guy to have. Like you mentioned before, I like the way you described Scooble as the guy you don't start all the time, but you kind of throw him in there and he's your SP6. So it's fine. Life's good. And
Marco Gonzalez is perfect for a draft and hold because he's not holding up a roster spot where every Sunday you're sitting going, okay, should I drop him for this guy or should I keep him? Because like he's kind of on that border sometimes where he's not doing it. But then when you need him, you can plug him in, and he's usually, for the most part, productive. Like you said, the one thing he doesn't do, and it turns everybody off, is he doesn't strike out a lot of guys. Every once in a while, he'd have a big strikeout game, and for the most part, he's not a strikeout guy. But he's a quality start machine. He's a ratio guy. He does the little things, like you said, an SP6, SP7, were cool. And then a draft and hold where you can stash him and use him when you need it because other things happen, that's phenomenal. So I'm with you there. He's much more would be in my wheelhouse for something like this. I'd probably still take him. That'd be later for me in a redraft format, like a fab league. But I like him a lot in this kind of format for sure. All right. I went with my catcher too with my 18th round pick. And I may have to get another catcher soon because we'll see what the Blue Jays do. But I went with Alejandro Kirk planning for upside here. This is the guy that was injured off and on this season. But when he's healthy, we know he can hit. He finished with a 242 average, but he only struck out 11.6% of the time, flexed his muscle a bit. He was just banged up a lot. That was the biggest thing with Kirk this year. The Blue Jays could use him full-time. Danny Jansen, good, but not great. I think Kirk's much better than him. I don't think many people argue that sentiment. And I think it's just a health issue for the most part, Alejandro Kirk. So I took him as my catcher, too, realizing I'll need to get – you're going to draft 3 to 4 catchers anyways, but knowing that if he stays healthy and gets 2/3 to maybe 3/4 of the playing time with Toronto, it's a win for me. So I'll take Kirk as my catcher, too. Round 19, I went with another closer now, and this one's hoping that Alex Cole may return to Minnesota because they have a mutual option and it's only $6.3 million, which is quite affordable. So I'd imagine Minnesota brings him back at worst to try to trade him. That's what I see. And so he was the closer this past year. They're running out there to get saves. Maybe he sticks with it. Maybe he doesn't, but year after year, people dog on Alex Cole may because this year, 4.15 ERA, not great. But the guy still gets saves. He had 17 saves at the end of the year. He's had 12 or more saves in every season since 2016. So he's going to go out there. Some team's going to get him and use him to get saves. Still a 20% strikeout guy, not like great because he walked almost 8%. But as a late round saves option, I think I'll roll with Alex Cole. May hopefully start the year as the Minnesota closer. We'll see where it goes throughout the season. But teams are going to want to put him out there because he keeps getting it done. So I'll go with Alex Cole as my reliever too because, again, I'm hurting for a reliever. So who'd you go with in round 19?
So the round 19, and before we do that, Bubba, changing of the guard. Braves have won their World Series.
Who's the 2022
champion? 2022
champion. Ooh, I like
Cincinnati Reds. folks.
I like it.
I actually don't think the Reds are going to win the World Series. I just had this hat, and I right before we went on air, I was like, you want to know something? I should say that this team is going to win the World Series. I don't think the Reds are going to win the World Series. Sorry, but I do like the Reds a lot. I like them a lot. Joey Votto deserves a World Series championship, just like Freddie Freeman did as well. So moving on from that prognostication, my next pick was Gio Urshela. Again, batting average was an area where I was a little bit sore. Speaking of sore, Urshela was not healthy much of this season. Okay. You know, he really battled and struggled through some of those injuries. But when you look at the results, you know, he was a 442 plate appearances, 267 batting average, 14 home runs, 42 runs, 49 RBIs. So not great, but he has, like, you know, he still makes a ton of contact. He still has the same power metrics as he has before. We saw that contact rate slip a little bit, but again, he was battling some injuries, including, I think it was the elbow at the beginning of the season. So I don't think he was necessarily right, but I think the batting average is going to be really good. He's in a good lineup again. He was batting higher in that lineup towards the end of the season. I think that's one of the flaws that he has is, you know, he hits like eight or nine sometimes. But I think he's going to be up there, and I think he's going to play every day. He's got the third base and shortstop eligibility, which in a DC is important as well. So I just felt like he was solid overall, batting average boost, some flexibility positionally to rotate between corner infield and middle infield. So I felt pretty good about that one.
Yeah, he's great. And then if coming he stays back, healthy, it's phenomenal. Yep.
Yeah. Pat, coming back around, the guy I'm going to draft for like the 30th straight year, Andrew McCutchen. You know, again, McCutchen, you know, he's coming back. You know, he's now 2 years removed from that ACL injury. The batting average was down, 222, but he had the lowest BABIP of his career at 242. He still has fantastic plate discipline, so he gets on base a lot. The contact rate was still really good. He still had 27 home runs, ladies and gentlemen, 27 home runs and 574 plate appearances. He also had 6 stolen bases, so he's not giving you a zero there. You know, he was great. Higher barrel rate than he had in his entire career, 32 barrels last year. His expected BA was higher than his batting average was. So again, I think he's very solid. It'll be interesting. I think he's done, right? Or does he? A club option, which I,
yeah, there you go.
Which, I mean, at 16.7 mil, I they probably won't pick up, you know, but maybe they will. Wherever he ends up, I think, you know, he's still an everyday guy and he's still really good. He did all that in less than 600 plate appearances. So at this point in the draft, getting like a 2010 guy who's going to score a bunch of runs is something I can get behind. So I like it.
Most definitely. My 21st or 20th round pick, went with another closer. This one might be a little suspect. Carlos Estevez of the Rockies. He's ARB eligible in 2022, so he'll be back with Colorado. Finished the season getting 11 saves. Again, the ratios were not ideal because, well, Colorado and many other factors, but still a 22% K rate, 14.4% K to walk, which has been 15 to 18% the previous two seasons. So maybe there's some room for growth there. Still a Colorado closer. Not fun, but, you know, in years past, Bard's been worth, like, you could still sling him out there to try to get saved. So Estevez would be a guy, and I don't even know if he'll keep the job. I had Victor on the show last week, and he broke down the Colorado bullpen possibilities, and he wasn't a big Estevez guy, and he made a lot of sense. So I've wasted a pick here. We'll see. But maybe I'll go get some more of those options later and try to just get one of the worst bullpens in baseball. So that'd be great draft strategy for sure. But he was my third closer again, chasing saves, folks. This is what happens. You get stuck with guys like Carlos Estevez. So
you know what I've always said, Bubba. I've always said, get two lockdown closers early.
I feel like Toby right now. He got the early closers, and I'm going the late route. And I'm like, I'm feeling the pain.
I got like the two heroes of the two hero closers of the playoffs. Kenley Jansen, who struck out like 70% of the guys. Clearly going to re-sign with the Dodgers. Lockdown closer. And then I got Will Smith, World Series champion, putting final the red Braves hat. I would put the Braves hat back on, but it won't fit back on my head. So,
and then my 21st round pick, another starting pitcher. Like, I just went on a pitcher's barrage here. But again, I kept going. I'm like, I can't pass on these guys. Might be fool's gold. Might be dumb here. But I got Nestor Cortes Jr., another guy that, you know, threw 93 innings with the bigs. He threw a total of like 110 innings between the minors and the bigs this year. So maybe get 140, 150. That rotation is still going to need some help this next year. You know, you got Garrett Cole. You have Jameson Taillon as an ankle surgery. There is, Severino's coming back. Herman's coming back. There's a bunch of pieces there, but Cortes held his own in a big, big way over those 93 into 290 ERA, 3.78 FIP, 4.18 xFIP. So maybe some regression coming, but the biggest thing, 20.9% K to walk rate. He had a 27.5% strikeout with a 6.7% walk rate. That was absolutely outstanding. He kept doing it time and time again in the big stage in September for the Yankees. So I'll take him as a late round flyer, as a round 21 SP. Nestor Cortes Jr. could be. We'll see. Maybe they start him in AAA because they have enough starters. We'll wait and see. But I think he's a guy that deserves a spot in the rotation, and we'll wait and see how that goes.
This is beautiful, Bubba. This is a beautiful pick. I mean, I think he's fantastic. Over his last five games, you read his season-long stats, which were absolutely fantastic, but he actually was better down the stretch. Mm-hmm. You know, 79.7% in-zone contact rate. So dominant in the zone, very much above average over those last five games. 31.4% K rate and a 3.9% walk rate. That is a 27% plus elite K minus walk rate. I don't care if it's only five games. 32.6% O swing, 11.4% swinging strike. Let's break down the arsenal just really quickly, just to tout how good of a pitch this was. The four seam fastball played really well at 9.3%. Well, played decently at 9.3%. He's got two mediocre pitches in the cutter and the slider. So he must have improved as the season progressed, is going to be what I'm going to guess, just in terms of like the way his pitch is played. Or he probably had like a really nice CSW or something. I don't know. One of those ones we're going to have to investigate and kind of look a little bit more deeply to figure out what he was doing that was so successful. But anytime anybody puts over those stats over a five-game stretch, Bubba, I'm super on board. I really like this pick a lot.
Well, I'm going to get all the starting pitching stats. I don't know if I'll get anything else, but I'm going to have that locked down.
For sure.
What did you get for round 21 and 22?
I went with Lane Thomas. Was fantastic last year. This year, I guess. I don't know. It's last year now, Bubba. How quickly times have changed. We're already talking about last year. In 264 plate appearances, the guy had 7 home runs and 6 stolen bases. He only had a .235 batting average, but all the metrics are really nice. 23.5% O swing, so really good plate discipline. Get on base. He walked at a 14% clip, 81.1% overall contact rate, which is much better than league average. So the K rate, you know, should be down there. Yeah, I mean, if you look at his projection again from Steamer, 483 plate appearances, 16 home runs, 11 stolen bases. So again, a guy who's kind of contributing everywhere. The batting average is a little bit low, but I think it can play up a bit. Max EV was the highest it's been, 109.1. Not that he had a lot of previous experience, but all we need to know is this guy's a former St. Louis Cardinals outfield prospect. We know how this ends, people. MVP, yep. Next time. Come on. 7.3% barrel rate, you know.
It all makes sense to me.
It's all good there. And he's going to be leading off for the Nationals, theoretically, with, you know, not Trey Turner, but Juan Soto behind him and some other players. Kybert Ruiz, who's on your team. You know, there's other guys who are there. I just can't remember what their names are, Bubba. Who else is there?
They have Juan Soto, Kybert Ruiz. I'm just going through the diamond.
Lane Thomas. They have Lane Thomas. Don't forget him.
Yeah, they have Lane Thomas. I'm trying to think who else they have. No, Luis Garcia. Carter Kieboom.
I like Luis Garcia.
Carter Kieboom maybe can get something Carter figured Kieboom. Out.
I'm asking for good players, Bubba. There's nobody else.
This is the struggle. Oh, they have
Josh Bell.
Yes,
Josh Bell, who, by the way, ended up having a fantastic
stud. Absolutely underappreciated stud.
Yes. Super underappreciated. He will be driving in Lane Thomas and Juan Soto repeatedly.
And if he can't, Kyber Ruiz will. So we'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. This is a great pick. So
I love Lane Thomas.
I like it too. I mean, honestly, like I have a bunch of leadoff hitters, but I'm going to get a ton of plate appearances, hopefully.
Yep.
Knock Bingo. On wood.
Name of the game.
Knock on wood. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens, people. And then my next pick, I love this pick, Bailey Ober.
Yeah.
There's not much else to say. I love Bailey Ober. Actually, the numbers when I dug into them, like, maybe weren't as good as I wanted them to be, like in terms of the plate discipline metrics over the last little bit, but he was not walking anybody. The strikeouts weren't as nice as you'd like them to be, but I really like Bailey Ober heading into next year. For the Twins, I think he's got a nice arsenal. I think he's young. I think he can improve. And so I really like Bailey Ober. Yep. So that was the pick. And then I should probably do my usual thing here where I actually tell you what the metrics said. So Bailey Ober, 20.3% K minus walk, 25.3% K, 5% walk, 11.4% swinging strike rate, O swing at 35.4%. Love that. You know, strikeouts, 96 and 92 innings, that's fine. ERA, 4.19, that's fine. Whip, 4.2, you know, that's fine as well. He's got to do a little bit better on the home runs, 1.95 per nine, but maybe that's an area where he can get a little bit of positive regression. So I really like Bailey Ober heading into next year. I'm interested to see, like, spring training, I think, will be really important to know, like, kind of where he's at, if he has a rotation spot locked down and stuff. But I really like him heading into next year.
I don't blame you at all. We saw some really high moments from him this past year, so we'll have to see if he keeps building on that. So I don't mind that at all at that point in the draft. My next two picks, my final two picks, round 22 and 23, I kept my multi-position eligibility train running, and I got a guy with some speed and just flexibility everywhere in Jorge Mateo of the Baltimore Orioles. This might be too early for some, but for people that need steals, you're going to love him because he got 10 steals last year in up and down limited time, but back-to-back years of 20-plus in the minors. He had 20 or more steals, 24 more steals in 4 of 6 years in the minors. Or no, in four straight years in the minors. In 2019, 19 home runs and 24 stolen bases. So the power started to develop. I like that quite a bit. He's going to be playing in Camden Yards, which is always very, very nice. But the biggest reason I get him, I mentioned the flexibility part. He's going to have second base eligibility. He's going to have shortstop eligibility, and he's going to have outfield eligibility. So he's going to be able to give me my middle infield positions and the outfield, which I will take and run with in this format in a big, big way. My round 23 pick was another guy in Hunter Dozier, who I'm always a big fan of, and this last year was a rough one if you look at the grand scheme of things. But if you break it down, he was injured a lot off and on the first 4 months or so. It's a roller coaster ride of injuries. He was healthy to finish the season, and just the month of September alone, he hit 272 with a 304 ISO, a 141 WRC plus. He had 14 extra base hits, 6 of those home runs, and he even stole two bags. Because that's the one thing we love about Hunter Dozier is there's power and there's speed. Like, he's projected to have 15 homers and 5 stolen bases. He had 5 steals last year. We've seen him hit his 16 homers last year in an injury-riddled season where he only hit 216. So I like what we can get from Hunter Dozier. And again, the flexibility thing I was talking about, he's going to have first base, third base, and outfield eligibility. So Mateo had my middle infield and outfield. Hunter Dozier will have my corner infield and my outfield wrapped up. So now I'm just building flexibility on this team and getting some steals, getting some powers, getting guys I can plug in and out depending on matchups throughout the week. And it's something I really, really, especially if you do the Monday through Thursday and the Friday through Sunday part, I'm a big fan of having players like this in a DC format because I had too many guys. Like I mentioned at the very first episode, I had one league where I was at a first baseman for all of September. I had 3 first basemen on my roster. I had none left in September. So I want to just – I'm going to overdo it in flexibility, but these are guys I had circled. There's a few more that are out there right now that I had on my list that we'll see where they fall in the draft. But those are my final two picks, around 22 and 23.
And with my final pick, and this one I was just kind of lost in the woods, honestly. I was like, I have no idea what to do right here. I have not – prepared accordingly. Let's look at some names and think about what might make sense. And I kind of like this pick a little bit more than when I made it, honestly. And that's Brandon Marsh of the Angels. Obviously has prospect pedigree. He's got a little bit of the home run, stolen base, you know, whatever you want to call it, thing going for him. You know, he's got a little power speed. Check this out, though. Dude hit 2 home runs last year. Guess how many barrels he had?
Yeah, he hit the ball hard a lot. Yeah.
He had 16 barrels. Yeah.
He was bad luck.
16 barrels and 2 home runs. His barrel rate per batted ball event was 10.3%, which is fantastic for a guy, especially who has 6 stolen bases, playing in one of the best power parks for left-handed hitters in Angel Stadium. Yeah, I mean, 6 stolen bases, 260 plate appearances, 254 batting average, although that was lucky with a 403 BABIP. You know, definitely some contact issues. I'm going to check out in a second whether he improved that contact. So he needs to improve that for sure. But he's got the power and speed. He's still a young dude. He's still 23. He should get some run in that outfield. You know, the projection isn't fantastic for him, 11 home runs, 9 stolen bases, but I think there's a lot of upside here. And then let's just take a look like at his last 20 games or so. I just want to check out to see if there was any improvement in the contact rate, because honestly, I would, you know, if we see some of that, I might freak out. Oh, there's improvement in the contact rate, ladies and gentlemen. This is breaking news. In-zone contact rate over his last 20 games was 86.1%. which is better than league average. And his overall contact rate was 72%. So he was missing on a lot more balls on pitches outside the zone, which is not necessarily a bad thing because you're not going to make good contact. But that's still reasonable overall contact rate. The O swing was solid throughout. It improved as the season progressed. Hard hit rate was great, 45.5%. The ground ball rate even dipped maybe a little bit, a smidge. He still needs to work on that, but I'm sold. Brandon Marsh, top 10 round guy moving forward in your drafts. Draft him there or be sorry. Not really.
I like Marsh. There's a lot to like with Marsh. I don't know if he's an every week starter, but he's definitely got the upside to keep going. Because like you mentioned, I remember playing him in DFS a lot because you look at the skills he had out there and you're like, eventually this is going to translate, and just never did. But the skills are there, and that means it's going to come. So I'm a big fan of that, and we'll see. The biggest question will be is how do they work that out when Trout comes back? Is it Marsh and Adele with him? Like, that whole conglomerate's going to be interesting. But
Upton still there?
I'm not sure. That's why there's a lot of pieces in
Angels. Thanks for raining on my parade. I was Brandon Marsh, top 10 rounds, but I'm gonna hold it back.
Well, let's have a fun parade now of listener questions. And we're going to have a lot of fun with this. And the one thing I'm going to say right now, you guys have great questions. Not sure how great we're going to answer these because we can't read all the board. And a lot of these questions involve like who had the biggest reach and stuff like that. We might miss things. I'm just going to throw that out there right now because it's hard to really analyze the board right now. We'll do our best. But for the most patient listener guest question on the planet, we're going to start with Ryan Roof right out the gate from RotoWire. Biggest surprises of the draft, hitter and pitcher. Maybe someone went way earlier than you initially expected or fell way later than expected.
Well, this one's tough because, you know, you never want to criticize picks, right, of other people.
That's most of our questions, by the way.
who do you want to throw under the bus on the Pretty podcast? Much.
Dave McDonald. No,
yeah. I mean, you know, one that stood out, you know, and again, these things could end up being sounding really foolish, but Matt Barnes, I think, went in the eighth round. Yeah. And so that one really jumped out at me and is kind of not necessarily being where he should be. I just think he's super inconsistent, and he had the best half season of his life early on. And I just don't think he's ever shown that consistency throughout his career. So I'd be very surprised if he's the Red Sox closer. Even though he's got that contract, you know, it could be the case. Maybe he works it out and
I drafted, you know, the Red Sox closer, so we're good.
But I think that's a little early with so much uncertainty is what I would say.
A pitcher that I think went earlier than he should have, and I'm, you know, it might be crazy talk because at least he pitched a little bit to finish the season out. But in my mind, and people are disagree probably, Noah Syndergaard going like 6 rounds earlier than Justin Verlander, I think, was a bit of a reach. Like, there's a lot of other quote unquote healthy pitchers I'd rather take a chance on than Noah Syndergaard at that point in the draft. I get how good he is. I get the upgrade he can get. I get that this was a Spores pick. Now that I look at the team, I didn't even see who it was at first. I understand a lot of the quote unquote plus sides of things. To me, if you're going to take the risk, like, again, I might be biased. I took Verlander, but I waited like six rounds to take my risk, where Syndergaard has to hit a little more for where you took him at than later in a draft. So I guess that would be one of the reaches for me. What was there a hitter that stood out to you at all?
Oh, a hitter reach?
Yeah, he had a pitcher and a hitter. I'll take one if you want. And I know we kind of talked about it before. And again, I could be foolish because he could light the world on fire. I still can't take Wander Franco as early as he goes.
In the second.
Yeah. But I could be totally wrong. Like, the tools are there. I just don't know if it's happening just yet.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good call. You know, one that jumped out at me, like, just when the picks were being made was, it's hard.
It is.
But Jorge Polanco. Jorge Polanco went in the sixth round, which, to be fair, I mean, there's five category contribution there. So if he replicates something similar to what he did last year, then he can certainly return that. And he went in the sixth round. So we're talking pick like probably like, what is that? 76 through 90, something like that. But you know, I just think that he was fully healthy this year, you know, 644 plate appearances. That's his second most to 2019, you know, his most home runs, as well. Let's see that what that barrel rate was. So he had 48 barrels and 33 home runs. So about, you know, 75% ish of his home runs. So that number will probably come down. You know, the steals haven't been there as consistently. But, you know, then again, the batting average could be better as well. So that one just kind of jumped out at me. And it's less that I dislike the pick, because I think Polanco can be really good and he's a five category contributor. So there's a lot of ways that he can kind of get back. But I also, I'm always hesitant to go after those guys who had career years where kind of everything went well for them, because it's hard to do that sustainably. But so that one just kind of jumped out at me as a guy who I thought might go like two or three rounds later, mm-hmm. and who I'd love to have at that point in time, where I'm maybe a little bit less excited about having that him.
I remember when he was picked, I was like, oh, I like Jorge Polanco a lot. Wow, that might be early. We'll see. It was like, because we're, I guess part of it's, you know, are you paying for last year's season? Yes, you're paying a lot, because what we, like you said, where you used to be able to draft him and everything, which obviously you're not going to get that discount anymore. But yeah, it's really interesting to see how that one pans out. But that's the part about drafting early. I he's one of those guys, we talked about some guys that might move up. He's a guy that probably ends up in like round 9 or 10 by draft, by like February or March. So it could be the total opposite of things. Like, I think there's a value one later that I'll mention later that in one of our questions. Less than Dave, Mr. Dave McDonald asks, which teams do you think set themselves up the best through the first 23 rounds? This is where it gets tough, trying to read everybody's team. To be totally
honestly, like, I can't read everybody's team. And also, honestly, I didn't really pay attention to what other people were doing. So I know Bubba's team pretty well.
Yeah, I know Toby's
team. I like to think my team is positioned to do really well, but I hope you'd feel that way after the draft is over. But yeah, I cannot see the draft board well enough to know like who all's there. You asked some really difficult questions, Dave.
Yes.
Which is not a criticism. We love the questions, but
I know drafting next to Simeone, because I was kind of watching his pick and he took a couple of mine and vice versa.
Yeah.
I liked where he was at, like where his kind of lane was going. So like I said, I saw his and knew what he was doing. One thing I do like seeing is team eight. They got corner infield and outfield locked up pretty good. So I think that's just on paper something to kind of go over, like we've talked about in the before, with third base getting shallow quickly. Like his first two picks were J-Ram and Machado. That could be tremendous as the season goes on, because third base is so rough. So that's something that definitely
six straight hitters though to start a draft. Yeah,
that's what stood out. That's why it's interesting. But now he doesn't have to worry about third base the rest of the draft. But where's his pitching going to stand? That's gonna be like Ian Anderson, I think Kyle Hendricks, Zach Greinke, Sonny Gray. That's some Chris Paddock. That's a lot of questions right there. A lot of guys that are on my do not draft list for the most part. But We'll see how that pans out. But I like where his bats were, but that's kind of the yin and the yang. How do you attack it? Like, people are going to say it, and I know they're probably right. I took a lot of starting pitcher. So if that makes my starters are good offensively, I think, but now I'm going to have to get really good with my reserve picks on my bats, and hopefully my pitching holds up. So that's one at least criticism I'll give mine, and I can totally accept if someone says I took too much pitching. Totally get it, but I don't have to reach for a bunch of potential pitchers in my mind. So we'll see how that plays out. All right, Dave had a couple more questions here. Where is the best talent left positionally? Do you have a rough idea on that one, Topi?
I really don't.
I would say outfield.
It's super thin.
Yeah.
After 23 rounds. Thin. Yeah. I mean, this is where the off-season research comes into play, because you develop firmer ideas of what guys in this range of the draft can, you know, you like. Because at this point, like, I mean, honestly, it was brutal. Like, I was trying to pick a guy, and I was like, I think I picked four guys that were already picked before I actually got somebody. So I just think,
I think the outfield still has some flexibility there. It's pretty dry, don't get me wrong, but I think there's still some outfield availability, and middle infield is still pretty deep. You got a lot of the middle infield to play with. That's one thing I'd say. Now, is it strong middle infield? We'll see. But there's still middle infield to play with. And then his last question is for you, Toby. He says, I love Toby's approach with aces, catchers, and closers early in a DC.
I love my approach too.
But can you get enough stolen bases?
Well, let's count them up. Sal Perez, 0. JT Realmuto, like 11. Chisholm, let's give him 20. So that's 31. Bregman, 0. Grossman, let's give him 15. So what is that? 31 plus 15 is 46. Kelnick, let's give him 12. So then I'm at 57. Kelnick, 57. Hoskins, projected for 5. So I'm just going to give him that. That's 62. Then we got, I can't even keep an eye on my thing. Then I've got Colton Wong. Let's give him 12. 62. That's 74. Then we got Michael Brantley. Let's give him like 2. So what am I at now? I'm at 62, 74, 76. Then I got Rafael Ortega. He's projected for 12. So that's 88. Then I've got Andrew McCutchen, who's probably projected for like 6. So that's 94. And then I also have Lane Thomas, who's projected for 11. So that's 108. And then I have Brandon Marsh, who's projected for 11. So that's 119 stolen bases right there. So I feel pretty good, actually. And it's super balanced. Like, every single one of my hitters, not every single one of them, but most of my hitters provide that type of stuff. I don't know how balanced my offense is, though. But I don't think that speed will necessarily be a weakness. I don't necessarily think I'll win the category, but I also don't think that I will necessarily struggle in that.
Yeah, no, I'm 100% on board with you on that one. Our buddy Dusty Wagner has a question for us. Who are the top risk-reward players in your eyes from round 15 to 23?
15 to 23. And honestly, like, this is – we hate to make light of the board, but, like, I can't see the board super well. So let's see. Let's go through it.
I made a list of some so far. Okay. I've been kind of scanning it.
You're better than I am. You go first, and then I'll look.
I'm, like, halfway through the board, but a few that stand out. Casey Mize could be that guy if he's – he's basically a Scooble type. I like Scooble more for the strikeout upside, but Casey Mize could take that next step to being a pretty quality starter for you. Two bats that really stood out, Joe Adell. If he finally takes that leap, he's a phenomenal pick in this spot, like outstanding pick in this spot if he takes that jump. And then another guy who's going to, I think, move up draft boards sooner than later, Bobby Dalbec. What he did, especially the last month or so of the season, where we saw the contact skills are ridiculous, but the strikeout rate dropped a bunch. If that is sustainable, a guy like Bobby Dalbec could be an absolute steal at this point in the draft at a quarter infield spot. So those are three guys that stood out for me as I was kind of perusing what I could read on these boards.
Yeah, I love that Dalbec call. I really like Bobby Dalbec as well. I wanted to grab him, but he went right before I went. Some guys like Josh Bell, I think, went in the 16th round. I think that's fantastic. Jorge Soler, Adam Duvall went in the 16th round as well. I mean, that's terrific as far as I'm concerned. There's actually like quite a few that I like. Mark Connor.
Santander is interesting.
Yeah. Connor went, which I really like. Yeah.
Lane Thomas,
great team that he's on. Who were the other guys? John Means.
Yeah.
In the 16th round, which I thought was a really good pick there, from a pitcher. Ashby on the Brewers. I really like that pick as well. I mean, he was absolutely dominant down the stretch. I mean, it's hard to really say like how dominant he was. So I really like him. He was really good. You know, there's just like, it's really hard. It would be so much easier if I could actually see this board.
Yeah. Honestly, in like a week or two, we're going to be able to. That's all I know. In a week or two, it's supposed to be up and loaded. We'll be good to go. So,
yeah.
And we'll post the clean one up so everyone can read it and stop making fun of it. They can realize what we're looking at. We'll put the before like and
Alex
after.
Alex Cobb. There's Christian Javier. Yeah.
Javier could be a big
we're
one.
We're going really late. Yeah. So there's definitely Jesus Luzardo, you know.
No one on Mike Kirlin's team at all. No one.
Oh, I like some of Mike's
team. I just want to see if he's actually listening. Will Garofalo has a question. For your team alone, favorite pick in round 15 through 23?
Probably Bailey Ober.
Mine's Nestor Cortez, so I'm a big fan of that. And then one pick in pick 15 through 23 you wish you could throw back.
15 through 23 I wish I could throw back. I don't know. It's so hard. Honestly, I'm not disappointed in any of those picks necessarily. I do think like the one thing I was thinking about is, you know, Ortega is interesting, but he's also 30.
Yeah.
So it's like, he seems like the perfect guy to be that bridge between, I think like Brennan Davis is the really good prospect who plays center field for the Cubs. So he's kind of like the perfect bridge player to get to Brennan Davis. But you never know when these type of like utility journeyman guy are actually going to get a shot. Like he could have a really bad spring training and just not even be playing. And so I think there's some like uncertainty. And so having Ortega and Thomas, who I don't know if Thomas is part of the future in Washington. I mean, based on everything I've seen, he should be, but he's not necessarily a highly regarded prospect. He is a former Cardinal outfielder though. So that should increase his prospect pedigree. So I'm just not sure. So if one of those guys didn't actually end up being in the opening day lineup, like would I be that surprised? Maybe not. But I also think that they are, you know, pretty solid contributors, like the type of guys that I want to have and get in that spot. So yeah, I mean, I feel pretty good about it. And it's also really hard because in the draft, you're much more cognizant of things like team construction and who else is available on the board. Like Gio Urshela, I don't love that, but I also know that I need batting average pretty badly. And that's not easy to get, you know, towards the back end of the draft. So I'm okay. I don't really have anybody that I'm really hating on that I drafted.
Yeah. Mine would be Carlos Estevez. I could probably do without that pick. The more I look at it, that was a reeking of desperation pick. So that goes there. Liam at Freed Minds has a great question that I'm going to save for a future show, because I think we'll give him a better answer. He basically asked guys you're avoiding next year at all costs. I think that'll be when we do some more digging for 2022, it'll be a much better answer for you.
Yeah. Once we have like ADP established too, because I think that's the major piece for that.
Everyone's got a price.
Yeah. 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 It's a great question, Liam. And it's more like, you know, there's no player. There may be some players that I just totally take off my board for whatever reason, but it's too early to know that. And it's also too early to know what, you know, what the draft pick is going to be of these guys, what the ADP is of these guys. And that will tell you like really whether you want to draft somebody or not.
Yep. So we will definitely be back to you. Ask Ryan Roof. I'm a man of my word. We will get back to you on that. I will save it.
Integrity. Bubba's. Yes. This is so funny. Bubba's middle name is actually Integrity.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
It's true. Toby figured it out. He's a smart man right there. But yeah, it's true. My name spells bye, BIE. So it's like pie because it makes sense. I love pie. But
it is the season of pies.
It is. As Shelly tweeted out. Yes.
What's your favorite kind of pie?
Well, I grew up with an appetite that wasn't very diverse. So I grew up forever with being just pumpkin. And then my grandpa makes a homemade pumpkin cheesecake, which is kind of cheating, but outstanding.
I like that.
The one that I've been getting in love with now, if we get from the Avila Barn down in Avila Beach, or there's this bakery in Paso Robles that has these phenomenal pies now. It's a, I think it's not Edelberry. It's, I'm going to screw up. It's just really.
Elderberry?
Elderberry, I think.
Elderberry.
I don't know. It's some berry.
Elderberries are super healthy for you.
Yeah, it's some like really, really fruity, good berry pie that with like a nice vanilla ice cream. Perfect.
Nice. I'm a cream pie guy.
Okay.
Like coconut cream pie, banana cream pie, chocolate cream pie. Like I love pumpkin pie as well. Key lime pie. Like I like pretty much every pie. I would say coconut cream pie though. It would be my absolute favorite.
Your favorite. See, I'm not a coconut guy, so I can't do it, but I respect it all. For you. Yeah, I did. I miss out on a lot of things. People don't think that when they see me. They think I eat everything, but it's not true. It's very not true. But yes, no, it is the season of pies. I can't wait. We already got our pies ordered for Thanksgiving, so I'm a very, very – they make one at this bakery in the past that I was talking about. It's a like a apple crisp apple pie. It's absolutely amazing. So
apple pies can be really good. Apple fritters are my favorite.
Yeah, that was my dad's favorite growing up. I always had a maple bar. He had an apple fritter. That was always
apple fritters, dude.
Yep, going to the ball, going to play Little League on Saturday mornings, going to the shop. That was a tradition. So, dude. Yep,
warm apple fritters.
A couple more questions for you guys here. Ben Tidd, our buddy, asks: after third base and catcher, which position thins out the quickest to you? Closers.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to do a positional. Obviously, I honestly don't have like a really comprehensive view of each one of the positions, so I don't want to give you a bad answer, Ben. I think as we go through like the different position previews, as we generally do, you know, we'll kind of get to where that. But third base stood out to me. Maybe first base. I don't know that wanted to hop in my head. But I'm also thinking like Josh Bell was available in the 16th.
And yeah,
Jesus, I got Hawkins where I got in.
So, yeah,
Never it's mind.
First bit. Yeah, I was half joking, but I think closers go way too fast.
Yeah,
like qualified closers.
It went super fast, and they'll go maybe quicker in DCs. But I think it's also everybody's kind of in this position where they're like, I need me some closers pretty bad. So
yeah, we'll see how that evens out in a couple months for sure. Our buddy, the doc, Mike Carter, asks, how about you give us someone you were sniped on?
I was sniped a bunch by Simeone.
Simeone was good.
Let me go through this.
He got me on Yasmani Grandal. I'm just going to say it. He got me so good on that one. I was so angry. That one, and I know it was a first-round pick, but I had J-Ram circled. I looked at Simeone. I said, the guy right there that isn't sitting in front of us is going to take J-Ram. I know it. And he started laughing, and then Jose Ramirez off the board. So that was mine.
I would say Jonathan India was a player that I really wanted. And I would say Brian Reynolds was probably the biggest one is what I would say.
Reynolds was a good one. A good one indeed. So that'll wrap up our questions, and that'll wrap up our three-part recap. Sorry if we couldn't get to all your questions appropriately. If you look at the board we tweeted out, you'll understand why. When we get a more clear board, if you'd like, I can tweet answer things for you or something. If you'd like some more talk on it or something, but it's complicated is the best way I can say it. It was a blast drafting. It was a blast recapping it, getting our wheels turning. But final thoughts, Toby, as we get ready to just do some positional previews in the coming weeks, because recaps, whatever comes first.
No, yeah, it was really fun to do the draft. To kind of get into it. First Pitch Arizona was fantastic. Highly recommend that for people who are able to make it. Yeah, it was great. It was fun to go through this draft. Really got me excited for next year. I'm going to have a little bit of a different approach, though, in drafting this year. I'm not going to do the super early drafts like I have in the past. I think I'm going to wait until a little bit later on. My teams that I draft later with a little bit more certainty tend to do better. I also just want to clear my head a little bit. I got burnt out this past season. So, but it was a lot of fun, and I want to do my research before I really start drafting guys. So we'll see. Yeah,
for sure. But part of the research will be talking to you guys about some positions and stuff that'll kind of get us thinking about things and throwing things off each other and figuring it out. So we'll be getting that going here in the coming weeks for you guys as usual. I'll start doing some best balls for like $10 ones. Like I don't do a lot. It's literally just to keep my brain moving in the thing. It's $10 and I did okay in those, but it's literally just to kind of keep the player pool learning together. The higher price stuff, I'll wait like you did, because mine were the same. They were better as I waited. So it's literally just to kind of get the feet wet, but I'll start those. I want to say December, maybe we'll throw one in around Thanksgiving for fun. Like, cause I usually tweet out the link for listeners or whoever can join. It's fun. We just enjoy it. And it's a slow draft. So we'll get those going here in the coming weeks. But I'm with Toby. I was burned out this year. I usually have like rankings out and stuff, and it's been really hard for me to get going. So it's like, I'm just like slowly going through the motions, but we're getting closer. I got like half of them done. So we're slowly getting there, but we'll be back with you guys in the coming weeks. You can check out Toby on Twitter at BatFlipCrazy. I am at BDentric. The Braves are your 2021 World Series champions, and we'll be back with you guys next time.
Better with a home policy from American Family Insurance, because you'll feel protected no matter how the wind blows. Also, you can keep enjoying the home of your dreams. And our expert agents can help you save up to 23% when you bundle home with auto. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.